Welcome to St Mary's Cogs. It's lovely to see you. If you don't know me, my name's Simon Kirby. I'm vicar here. It's great to see some faces I don't know tonight. Tonight is all about coming together to worship God. As we were preparing for this evening, I was reminded of this verse in Hebrews 13. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And that's what tonight is about. It's about offering Jesus a sacrifice, offering God a sacrifice of praise through Jesus, coming together to worship. Rich and the band are going to be leading, and it's just going to be an extended time of worship. We'll start standing, but if you need to sit down during the worship piece, feel free to do so. I was thinking the other day, why do we start standing? Why do I want people to start standing when I'm in worship? I said, why do I do that? I was thinking, well, you know, if a king came in now, whether you're a monarchist or not, if someone important entered the room, you might find yourself thinking, oh, I understand. And certainly if the queen came in or the king came in, I think we'd stand. We'd stand. Well, we're about to worship the King of Kings, who's here by his spirit. And so it seems to me appropriate always to start to stand in his presence. And then if you want to sit or kneel or run around, then by all means do. But for me, we start by standing. It's a great pleasure to have John Valentine with us tonight. John is vicar of St. George's, Holborn in... Did I pronounce that right, John? It's Holborn, isn't it? Not, yeah, I was in London for a while. St. George's, Holborn, not Holborn. If you pronounce it Holborn, you're not from London. St. George's, Holborn. John and I have known each other for about 20 years, when we were both teenagers. And one of the things we sort of experienced together when we first sort of knew each other was a move of God called the Toronto Blessing, and we actually were both in Norwich at that time, and my old boss I spoke to who knew John well and actually prayed for John to be filled with the Spirit, and remembers John sliding down the wall of a room after he'd prayed for him, and then getting into an awful lot of trouble because John was curate of one of the local churches where they didn't really do that sort of thing. And so my then boss got into quite a lot of trouble. But it is a delight to have you with us, John. I know that you've got something special to share with us. Why don't we stand together? And we say to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we welcome you. We welcome you. We are here to worship you. We are here because of what you've done in our lives. We are here because you love us and we've discovered that love. And so, Lord God, we welcome you, King of Kings. And we invite you to come and to lead us this evening by your Spirit. To challenge us where we need to be challenged. To change us where we need to be changed. Welcome, King of Kings. Please do sit down. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus who's been worshipped for 900 plus years in this place. Same Jesus who we encountered, some of us recently, some of us who we've known for a long time. The same Jesus. It's wonderful to worship him together. I'm really excited to have John here. John, why don't you come and join me up here? Because they've come to hear you, not me. So I want to pray for you. We first met in Norwich many years ago when John was curate of Trinity Church in Norwich and I was working for Norwich Youth for Christ. And it's been wonderful to sort of see John's ministry over the years developing. And one of the reasons I invited John to come was because I know that he and his church have been very influenced by Bethel Church in Reading. That's Reading, California. He asked me to point out, not Reading near Slough. And I wanted to hear a bit of that, and I wanted to hear about the impact it's had on John himself, but also on the church. So I invited him to come and share that with us, and then we're going to pray together and worship God some more. But John, can I pray for you?
Yes, please.
Father, I do thank you for John. I thank you for his faithfulness to you. I thank you that he knows you and he loves you. I thank you that he has a heart to bring others into that knowledge and love of you. I thank you that he's been willing to come tonight to share his experiences and his thoughts. And I pray that you would speak through him powerfully to us, to our hearts and our minds. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you.
Thank you, Simon, very much. Thank you all very much indeed. It's so nice to be here. And can I say how holy you must be to be here rather than watching Downton Abbey? That is just really, really special. Any stories you want to hear about Simon, do see me afterwards. I've got a few. Trouble is, he's got more on me. It's very, very special to be here. It's lovely to see Dave and Harriet as well. We've known each other a few years now as well, so it's really nice to see you guys. As Simon said, if I may, I just want to tell you essentially what's happened to us and our little church in London, through this church in Bethel, California. And then we'll pray if we may and see what the Lord wants to do. It's so encouraging to see what God is doing here, actually, to hear about here and to hear the journey that you are on. And not that I travel enormously and not that I have a great insight into these things, but for your encouragement, my perception is that what is happening with you and what is happening with us is actually happening all over the country. God is doing something up and down the land. I can't think of a more exciting time to be a Christian than right now in this place. It's an astonishing time. And I think when the history books are written, when the books are open in heaven, they'll look back and they'll say, wow, you lived through that. What a time it is. So before I tell you about California, let's ground it in the Word a little bit, if we may. If you have a Bible, do turn to Luke chapter 10, if you would. And I'm just going to read a few verses. You'll remember that Jesus sends out the 12 on mission to go and heal the sick and to go and drive out demons and to announce the good news of the kingdom. And then he sends out the 72, and they are asked to do the same thing. And I'm always deeply encouraged by that. There's a sense to me that the 12 are kind of the original apostles, and then the 72 is the rest of us. It's you and me. And what is really interesting for us is that I think that plays us all on side. There's stuff for me to do. Am I doing that? I'm so sorry if I'm buzzing. There is a phone. So, is that any better? It's my brain, I'm afraid. It doesn't work very often, but it does. So the 72, out they go, and they do this amazing, amazing things. And verse 17 of Luke chapter 10, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And these are the bits I really want to look at. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. I love verse 21. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father. It's almost a window, isn't it, into the secret life of God. Suddenly, the curtain is drawn back, and we see the Son rejoicing in the Spirit, praising the Father. We suddenly see the whole Trinity at work. And I love the fact that the Trinity is a happy place, if I can put it that way. It's joy. There's so much joy in this passage, isn't there? 72 are full of joy, and they rejoice that they've seen what they've seen. And Jesus is full of joy in the Holy Spirit. Our God is a happy God, if I can put it that way. It's all right to smile in church. Obviously, we wouldn't want anyone to know that. Let's keep it a secret, but it's all right. Now, why is Jesus so happy? Why is there this life of joy and relationship with God? And the answer is because of revelation. I'm so thankful to you, he says, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned, and you've revealed them to little children. What the Godhead wants to do is to reveal, to show things, to communicate, to be in relationship and action with us in some kind of way. Begs the question, doesn't it? Well, what is it that has been revealed? Well, the next verse is about no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. It's one of those verses you have to have a wet towel around your head to keep going with all the logic. But in essence, it's the Son is saying to the Father, thank the Spirit for showing us to these people. So great, isn't it? God does not want to remain a secret. He wants to be known. He wants to be experienced. He wants to be encountered and loved. So there's that side of it. But what has just happened to these children? Well, they have just seen the Spirit submitting to them. They have just seen the authority that Jesus has given them in action. So we can put those things together. I'm sorry this is so compressed, not least in this hour of Sunday night. But what Jesus is so excited about is that these guys have seen the kingdom in action. And in seeing the kingdom in action, they have seen the Godhead displayed and laid bare. And I think that the take-homes for you and for me are that it is our expectation and our confidence and our joy to see God acting in power in our world. The miraculous, the supernatural, the works of healing and deliverance, all those things, they're not something for the lunatic fringe. They're of the essence of the very life of God. It's how we know God is when we see him do these things. And the marvelous thing is, the really fun part is that we don't just see the great and holy doing it. It's not just the 12. Imagine there was a little back chat on the road, don't you? And it's, we've done it now as well. It's not just the clergy, is it? It's all of us, my goodness. And when we see these things, then it's just such fun. It really is. It's a marvelous thing. Mind you, ever since I've seen Miranda, I know I can't say such fun anymore. Very good. Can we use that as our kind of starting point, just to give us a sense of Bethel? Now, why did we go to Bethel? My wife Catherine and I went, and my curate and great friend Anders and his wife Kate went, and their little 1-year-old son Henry, he has also been to Bethel, and our worship leader went. And we went in January. Oh my goodness, there's me. Here, there's a screen. That's very alarming. So we went to Bethel, and we had a good time. Now, why did we go? Because, you know, it's an awfully long way to go. California is the other side of the world. It's, whatever it is, a 10-hour flight, and I sat next to a computer engineer all the way. So it's a very long flight. Why should we do such a thing? Well, I think I'd blame Anders myself, our curate. He arrived at St. George's in Hoban, that's the name of our church. And he and his wife Kate, they would not stop talking about miracles. They talked about miracles all the time. And in all honesty, I did not want to hear about miracles. I really didn't want to hear about miracles. And I thought, well, why? Because they're in the Bible, and you know, what's not to like about a miracle? But honestly, there was something visceral in me that said, I don't want to hear about this. And I think it's because, actually, in my Christian life, I was disappointed. I think I was actually really quite discouraged. Now, here we are, we're in the centre of London, we're so blessed, we have the most marvellous church, obviously not as lovely as you. And, you know, we're a church plant from Holy Trinity Brompton. You know, we believe in this stuff. And, you know, it's our life's blood. But in all honesty, you know, have we seen people healed in our church? Yes, we have seen people healed in our church. But in 10 years in Hoban, I think I could count on the fingers of one hand people that have been healed. And we've been through our ups and downs. We've had some really, really difficult, desperately discouraging times. And I think I just thought, and as I can't go there emotionally, I can't go there because I'll be disappointed again, and I don't know what I'll do with that, actually. I'm the leader. I'm supposed to be cheerful and optimistic and visionary. But anyway, unfortunately, I like this man. And I really respected him. And then I met his wife, and I liked her as well, and really respected her. And they would not stop talking about miracles. And they gave me this book by a man called Bill Johnson, who's the senior pastor at Bethel Church in Redding, California. It's called The Supernatural Power of the Transformed Mind. And I would say to you, sell your shirt to buy that book. It's an amazing, amazing book. And the thing was, I could not argue with it. Because it showed me, plain as a pikestaff, plain as the hand in front of my head, face. This is what Scripture teaches. What kind of things did Jesus do? Well, he healed the sick. Couldn't get away from that, page after page after page. And I know it sounds simplistic. I thought, golly, John, you went to theological college and it's taken you now to realize it. But I tried to wriggle around it. And I really, really couldn't. So I liked Anderson Cato, and I was reading this book, and I thought, oh, okay, okay. And you know those kind of moments that sometimes you have, and you thought, Lord, you win. And so Anders and I had lunch, and I said, Anders, I think we need to go to Bethel. And he laughed at me, which is not an uncommon thing. And he said, if you hadn't said it, I was going to say it to you. And then our worship leader came up to me a few weeks later, didn't know we'd talk about this, and he says, John, I think you need to go to Bethel. So I said, I know. So we did. Off we went. January of this year. It was a real blessing. I got to go with my wife, not the children. We... Thank you, Jesus! We love our children, but you know what it's like. It was great to go. And we had a week in San Francisco. What's not to like, you know? And then we turned up in Bethel. And what did we experience there? Well, we had most of a week there. We arrived on the Friday night, stayed in the Oxford Suites Hotel, which is very nice. We ate a lot. I do love Americans. They eat a lot. So do I. I'm right there with them. And then on the Saturday, we turned up at something they call the healing rooms. They do this every Saturday. It's from a model from Spokane in Washington State. And basically, they open up this vast room. It's huge. And they're every Saturday morning. And anyone and everyone who's sick and wants to comes in and gets prayed for. And we turned up bright and early. We were keen. And you go into one little room, and you're broken up into little groups. I suppose there was about 40 of us in this room, 30, 40. And basically, they say, you're going to get healed. You need to know who it is who's going to heal you. Because, of course, everyone comes in, and lots of different spiritualities and faiths and none. And so that first section is, it's Jesus. You need to know that it's Jesus who's going to heal you. And into this vast auditorium we go. And I remember just turning to the guys. You go in and there's worship going on and all kinds of things. And I remember just saying to the guys, I feel emotional even now, thinking about it, sort of thinking about it. I just said, I never want to leave. I never want to go. And, you know, the worship was it was great. You know, it wasn't, I don't mean this rudely, it wasn't kind of special. You wouldn't buy the CD. But it was just, there was something about it. And there were people dancing, prophetic dancing, and in all honesty, that's not my thing, as you can tell. But I loved it. In the middle of the room, there were people doing painting, prophetic painting. Again, it's not my thing, it really isn't. But I loved it. And we just went in and we worshipped. And these groups of Keelung students, they come round and they say, can we pray for you? What's wrong with you? And I felt really guilty and say, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm so sorry. And so, oh, don't worry. Can we prophesy over you? And I said, well, yeah, please do. And you know, they don't make a big thing of the prophetic at Bethel. But I tell you that the levels are right up here. So four gangs of students prayed for me that morning, and every single one of them said exactly the same thing. I thought to myself, Lord, you have my attention. And then I stay behind afterwards. They shut up shop. Everyone goes off, and then the team just gather around and they just go through the testimonies, what God's done that day. And I sat at the back, and my jaw just dropped. I mean, a lot of people in that room, and I'm not medical, but even I could tell that a lot of people in that room were really sick. I mean, seriously sick. They looked dreadful. I thought, how did you even get here? And yet the atmosphere in the room, you know, it's not intense, it's not anxious, it's not fearful, which I would be. I think, gosh, you poor thing, you know, are you going to get out the door? It's almost kind of joyful. And these guys, just, they're inventive, they're playful, they're light-hearted. Just one example, that this young guy stood up and he said, what I did, there was a woman there with a huge, no, forgive me, I forget the details, there was a huge swelling, huge growth on her chin. And the guy said, I'm going to pray for you. I hope you don't mind, I've got an iPhone here, and obviously you can't pray without an iPhone. And you remember there's an app, I think, on your iPhone, there's a torch. And he said, I'm going to shine this torch on your growth, and it's going to go. So he said, go in Jesus' name, and he turned the light on. And it went. It was just bizarre, just so strange. And there were lots of testimonies like that. There were, well, we'll get on to that. And I just thought, this is extraordinary. And I talked with some of them, and the first take home for me from Bethel, and in some ways this is the big thing, is that it's all about the presence. It's all about the presence of Jesus. So that's why there's worship that goes on, because the whole time there's worship. You know, we went to services as well, and we went to a conference, and they worship for a very long time. And it's over an hour each time. And thank you, Rich and the guys. That was just such amazing worship. It was wonderful. Really, really wonderful. And we sense the presence of the Lord. And it's not great extravagant theology, is it? But what we want to do is get near to Jesus. Because where Jesus is, Jesus will do what Jesus does. And how marvelous that Simon is just saying, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's fundamental to what we believe. So when it comes to healing and to miracles, the funny thing, the counterintuitive thing, is it's not about the healing and the miracles. It's about the presence. Just to be in the presence of the Lord and his love and the freedom that comes and the joy that comes. And when Jesus is there, Jesus will do what Jesus does. That was the first take home for us. And then, next thing, that we went to services on Sunday, and that was fun. Enjoyed that very much indeed. And then we went to a conference. There was a conference on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Bill Johnson was one of the speakers, and there was a man called Randy Clark as well that you may have heard of. He's good. They're great, these guys. And the conference was slightly random, but it seemed to be what we wanted. It was called Healing and Impartation. So we had three days, basically, of Bill giving the theology, and it was basically think differently. It was the power of the transformed mind again. You know, think differently. Learn to think from heaven to earth. Don't start with earth and try and work up to heaven. Start with what's going on in kingdom, in heaven. Now, what's going on? Is there sin in heaven? No. So do we want sin on earth? Don't think so. Is there cancer in heaven? There's no cancer in heaven. So we don't want cancer on the earth. just teaching us to think biblically. Marvellous, marvellous teaching. And Randy did something very, very practical. He showed us how to pray for the sick. It was just one model. And it was a vast conference. I mean, it must have been 2,000 people or something. Huge, huge numbers. And it was very, very practical. It was the old Wimber thing about, well, let's do some. You know, we're not just going to talk about healing, we're going to do some healing. So, he would model for us having words of knowledge. There's someone here with da-di-da-di-da. And, if that's you, would you like to stand up? And then they model really from the front. We prayed, commanding healing. Commanding healing. You know, it's not that we have to beg for it. It's not that we have to do the right things, have the right technique. It's like the 72, isn't it? That, guys, you've got it. You've got it. You've been given it. And the joy is when we realize it, when the revelation comes. And we saw, and Randy would say, now, if that's you, and he would count, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Bear in mind, this is 3 days. But Anders and I had to kind of pinch ourselves, really, because we reckoned that in 3 days, we saw 600 people healed. 600. And bear in mind, within 10 years, we'd seen 5. You know, in 3 days, we saw 600 people. And some of them were amazing. There was this lovely, lovely girl who had a weird form of lupus. And she was going to die. She was going to die. And bravely, she went to the Bethel school. In faith, really, because she wasn't going to last the year. And her mother had a word of knowledge about what this condition was. The doctors hadn't picked it up. And they said there's basically no treatment. And in worship, she was completely healed. And she stood up and said, I'm alive. You think, Jesus, I love you that you would do this. I don't know if Americans are bad drivers, but the number of people who had really serious injuries in car wrecks was just quite remarkable. But, you know, people would stand up with all kinds of mashed up limbs and difficulty in standing and sitting and sleeping. And there would be testimonies as we went along. And some of these conditions they'd had for, you know, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And in a matter of moments, sometimes of minutes, they would be healed. And they would be doing things that they had not been able to do for 10 years. And it was quite remarkable, quite remarkable. Now the take-home for us on this was, if you like, faith as action. So the classic model is you have a word of knowledge that there's someone here with something wrong with them. So they would say, let's say, is there someone here, why don't we do it now? Is there someone here with a bad leg? You've got a bad leg, a right leg. On my way here, I thought there's someone with, at the top of your right leg. I think the Lord wants to do something. Is that true of anyone? Anyone got a bad leg? Do you mind standing? Can we experiment on you? That's very brave of you. All right, now those nearby, would you stand up as well? Lay hands on her. What's your name? Ruth. Do you mind if we pray for you, Ruth? Right, lay hands on. And they go, right. Ruth, we bless you in the name of Jesus, and we command healing in your leg. Amen. Amen. And then they would say, now check it out. So Ruth, check it out. See if you can do something now that you couldn't do before. Read that again. It was clicking before, and it's now not clicking. Dear friends, we've just seen a miracle. That's amazing. Praise God. Woo-hoo! Now we're rocking. Oh dear, my Californian is coming out, really. But this was the thing for us. I have prayed so often for people who are... That was just so exciting, don't you think? Gosh, I still want to... We'll pray for people later on. Is that right, Simon? Yeah. No. You know, I pray for so many people, and you pray, Lord, would you just heal their leg? Amen. And then that's it. Rather than say, now what's happened? What's happened? Can you do something that you couldn't? Now, check it out. And that's become for us almost a kind of mantra in our church. Check it out. Check it out. And then there's this thing as well that we think, if I'm not totally, you know what, if you're British, and some of us, I imagine, in this room are British, if we are British, we don't want to kind of overclaim. You know, we don't want to sort of overstate. So what we learned from Randy Clark was the sense that is anyone here 80% better? 80%. And you think, well, yeah, I think I'm 80%. And that way we're giving God glory for what he's doing. But also some people will say, is anyone at all better? Because we've got into, at least I've got into this kind of, it's all or nothing. You know, the dead are raised or there's no healing. You know, that either you're completely better or nothing has happened. And of course that, not always the case. So again, something that we learnt from them is anyone in pain? Well, let's do this one. I don't want to embarrass anyone, but has anyone come here with pain tonight? You feel you've got pain. Do you mind if we pray for you? Would that be alright?
Now,
This is good. Now, if 10 is just agonizing and 0 is you want to do handstands, what's your pain level at the moment? Oh, bless you. Okay, stand up. Can you do that easily enough? Those around, would you stand up as well and pray? Let's lay hands on her. Now, remind me of your name. You have introduced Jenny. Thank you. Right, Jenny, we bless you in the name of Jesus, and we command the pain to go. Now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Jenny, check it out. If it was a 6.5, what is it now, do you think? Wow! Glory to God! Praise the Lord! That's it. Sorry, we haven't finished. That's 2. Now, doesn't it say somewhere in Scripture that God always finishes what he starts? He brings to completion what he's begun. So you don't have to stand up this time, but can we pray again? Lord, we pray that this pain will go completely now. Pain, we command you to go and not to return. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, check it out. Ish. Still, okay, well down to 2. We give God glory for that. That's very good. And something we learnt is stewarding the testimony as well. So important. Write these things down. Ruth, write it down. Church, write it down. Jenny, write it down. And we keep coming back to it. It honors God. And I think I've heard somewhere that in Hebrew, the word for testimony, it's something like say again. So it's almost when we give testimony, it's an invitation to God, do it again. But it's also an invitation to us, do it again, do it again, do it again. Praise the Lord. 2 miracles. And Downton Abbey hasn't even started. It's amazing. Okay, faith in action. Then, Simon, when should I stop? I can't remember.
Well, keep going.
Keep going. All right. Okay. Can I do 2 more take homes? Then I'll tell you what happened when we got home. The third thing is that we were greatly, greatly privileged that we went to their staff meeting at Bethel, their senior staff meeting. I don't know how we got in. It's pure favour because most of the time the doors are barred. You can understand why. People travel all over the world. But we sat in this room and Bill Johnson was there, Chris Vallotton was there and Danny Silk was there. All these big names that if you know Bethel, it was such a privilege to be in the same room with them. It was kind of scary. You know, sometimes in the Acts of the Apostles, they say that the fear of God fell on people. We had a sense of the fear of God, and it was kind of scary because Bill looked at the meeting begins, and Bill, you know, just we're on first name terms now. Bill looked across and said, "I think we have some visitors. You know, would you like to stand up and introduce yourselves?" And the honest answer to that was, "No, thank you. I'm very happy buying the coffee." But anyway, we did. And you know, they were all so warm to us and looked us straight in the eye. And you know, you can tell it came from the heart and it was, "I'm so glad you're here. Really, really glad you're here. May you be blessed while you're here." And we watched the way they interacted. And I've worked in a lot of churches. And I've not seen that kind of level of interaction. That commitment to each other, that prioritizing of the other, that giving of honor is how they put it to one another. And we were such a new just stood in the way. We wouldn't let them get out until they prayed for us. I literally stood in the door. Bill Johnson had to leave, and I stood in front of the door and said, "You're not going until you pray for us." We did the same with Danny Silk, and we got some time with Danny, and he was explaining to us, people come to Bethel for the miracles, they stay for the culture. And the culture is this extraordinary sense of giving honor to one another. But it's more, Stu, our worship guy, he said, does that just mean you're nice to each other? I thought, well, it's a start, isn't it? You know, we'd like to be nice to each other. But it's more than that. It's actually relating to one another as we are in God. So I relate to you as someone who's holy, who is a son and daughter, son or daughter of the living God, who is a prince or a princess, someone who's noble, someone who's powerful. And I also learn to relate to you in your gifting. So I would relate to Simon as an apostle. He's an apostolic man. He's sent to bring revival. He's sent to bring the kingdom into a new place in a new way. And I relate to Simon like that. I hadn't mentioned that to you. that means, you know, I really encourage him. And I say, yeah, go for it, brother. Well done. Keep going. This is excellent. And there's a level of challenge as well. You know, you're sticking to it, mate. You know, don't dumb down. Don't back in it. Don't back down. So it's not just that there is encouragement, but there's challenge there as well. So we've really self-consciously tried to do that in our church. And you know, relationships are human. We have our ups and downs and our quarrels and our fallings out and our failures, and there's all of that goes on. And it's at that point that the culture of honor really, really comes into play. So that's something that we've learned from that one. Last one was just this whole impartation thing. How do you explain this biblically? I don't know, but you know, why should we fly to California? Is it that God is in California and he's not in Oxfordshire? You know, that can't be right, can it? He is everywhere. But there is something. We Anders says it's like going to the source. So that's what we felt we were doing. We went to the source. And you know, it's happened that Bill went to Toronto. And was greatly blessed in Toronto and brought something back for Bethel. You know, it happens, you know, in the Azusa Street revival, some of the guys in the UK went to Azusa Street and they brought something back with them, which was then passed down to a man called Smith Wigglesworth, who passed it on to the Jeffries brothers, who passed it on to Reinhard Bonnke. And there's, I don't know how you explain it. But there is something about how the anointing of God rests on individuals in a very powerful way, and rests on particular churches in a powerful way, and particular places in a powerful way. So we were so thrilled that this was an impartation conference. You know, I've joked that we were a nuisance, and I think we were. We stood in Randy Clark's way. We stood in the way of the best Christian leaders in the Western world. And they would pray for us, and we... And they were so generous. What we have, we give to you. And their prayer was, we want you to run further than we've run, to reach higher than we've reached, to go further than we have. And I have to say that has been our experience. We've certainly gone much further than we've ever gone before. And I want to pray for you, if I may, that what I have received I can give to you, and you will run further than us, and go higher than us, and deeper than us, in more power than us, and in greater glory and greater freedom. That's my desire for you. And that's certainly what we've received. Shall I just tell you very briefly about what's happened as we got back to London, and then we'll pray. Is that all right, Simon? We'll miss the news as well at this rate. Well, we arrived, and fortunately Anders and Kate stayed on in the States for a bit. And I'm glad they did, because actually in a way that protected them from this is just the curate's thing. You know, and I arrived back, and it's a long flight back from California. It was on the flight that I was thinking, Lord, what am I going to do? You know, I've had a great time, but you know, it was Friday night, and Sunday comes very soon after Friday, I discovered. And I thought, I don't know what to do. And I felt, I don't know if this is right, I felt that it was as if the Lord laughed and he said, you do what you like. You do what you like. So I did what I'd seen Randy Clark do, and I stood up. And we were so blessed the church sent us. Our church wardens raised the money. It didn't come out of church finances. I don't know how they did it. I fear they paid themselves for us to go. It was so generous. But we were commissioned by the church. We got them to lay hands on us and send us off. And we always said, we're going for you. Not for us. It's not a staff jolly. It's for you. It's for the kingdom in our area and in our nation and in our land. So I felt we kind of owed them that. So we came back and I did exactly what we've just done. And I just had word of knowledge. I messed up so badly. It should have been in the sermon. The sermon, by the way, was do not commit adultery. I thought, how are we going to get to healing miracles out of do not commit? Anyway, I bypassed that cunningly by doing it in the notices. And I thought, nothing happens in the notices. Anyway, I had the words of knowledge. I prayed in the plane, and I felt the Lord say, knees. So I thought, okay, we'll go for knees. If you've got a bad knee, stand up. So various people stood up. Five people were healed that day. I thought, whoa, I'm enjoying this. This is great. It was so funny because there was a guy on the far right. His name is Sanjay. He's a policeman. He's a big lad. And we did the kind of thing, you know, check it out. And there he was doing this. I thought, you're a policeman. You do that all the time. And I said, anyone 80% healed? Wave at me. And I thought, wow, that's so exciting. And I didn't know this. Terrible pastor that I am. He ripped his knee. He said he was trying to be Rambo. He jumped off a wall and he did his knee. That was 3 years ago. And, he loves to run. He hasn't run in all that time. It was so bad he couldn't even have a bath because he couldn't move his leg. We were aware of that. 3 years of pain, disappointment, frustration, in less than 3 seconds, Jesus healed his ear. Isn't that great? And I saw him this week. I saw him this morning. He's fine. Absolutely fine. This lovely girl, Yang Ping's had migraines in her head all her life. They're getting worse and worse and worse. She was studying, and it was so bad that she had to take time off and just lie down, and she felt dreadful, this awful splitting headache. And there was a word of knowledge for, you know, someone with a head. That's the degree of sophistication we have at our church. There's someone here with a head. Spot on. And she didn't put her hand up. And she's talking to her mum, and her mum said, why didn't you put your hand up? I said, I don't know, I was embarrassed. So I said, okay. So the next Sunday as well, there was another word of knowledge. There's someone else with a head. Yang Ping straight away, it's me. So by this time, chaos has erupted so much that it wasn't just from the front. We just said, anyone around her, just lay hands on her and you do what you did. So that's what they did. They commanded healing. And it wasn't instantaneous. It was, took 3 weeks. It's completely gone. That's in February, mid-March. Sadly, she's had to go back to home now, but she was back in our church just last week, I think it was, and she's absolutely fine. Amazing. There's another girl who's had stomach problems, IBS, and we prayed for her every Sunday for a month, and every Sunday it went a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. It's completely gone, and she's absolutely fine. We're so excited. And the great thing is, you know, are we doing anything different from what we've always done? No. Are we any better at it? No. If anything, probably slightly worse. But it's just that revelation that when the kingdom happens, the kingdom happens. And I think it's just so great. It just takes the pressure off you. You know, it's not me that makes people well. It's Jesus who makes people well. And in his love, he asks me to do it, and I get to take part as well. You get to take part as well. And it's fun. You know, it's absolutely the best thing. We started healing rooms now. We have what, it's like a village fete in the middle of London. It's extraordinary. And you sell, literally, there's the church stall which sells marmalade. You know, it really is Miss Marple territory. It's marvelous. No one's been murdered yet, but it is that kind of thing. So this year we thought, let's have a healing tent. So you could either buy marmalade or have a miracle. Or if you wanted, you could do both. And it was amazing. We sold lots of marmalade and people got healed. It's amazing. It's just such fun. We did it again. Anders, he's so brilliant. He'll be a great associate vicar, but you can't have him for a year. But he started in our church. We did it the first time yesterday. And this lady just wandered in, shoulder pain. It was a 7 and it went down to a 0. And she was saying, "What happened?" "Well, Jesus happened. And she's saying she wants to go to church. I don't know how this happened, I wasn't there, but there's reconciliation with her family, there's reconciliation with God, and just thrown in, her shoulder gets restored as well. It's good stuff, this. It's great, isn't it? You're lovely. You really are. Why don't you come and live in Holborn? That would be so nice. We should do some, shouldn't we? Are you up for that? Is that an Oxfordshire? Amen. Come on! Let's be Californian. Why don't you stand up and we'll see what happens. Rich, could you come and do something holy in a while? Let's do the healing stuff first. Anyone got a word of knowledge? And words of knowledge are good because they encourage faith. It's the sense of the Lord saying, "I've seen you. I've seen you." So anyone come in here and you think, "Gosh, I've got a sympathy pain, and it's not me." I'm one of an age now where it probably is me. But anyone got anything? Well done, thank you. Right ankle. Anyone with a right ankle, wave at me. Not with your right ankle, but if you've got a right ankle. Okay. Anyone else? Well done, having a go. Thank you. That's terrific.
It wasn't a physical pain, but it was a real sense of worshiping of someone always worshiping Jesus and not the Father.
Oh, how interesting!
And it's a sense of, you know, I go to Jesus because I'm a little frightened of the Father.
All right.
And there was this sense of, you know, Jesus said, "Only do what the Father does." And I
lovely.
See this picture of the Father sitting in the lounge with his knees saying, "No, come
on." That's lovely. Thank you very much, John. Thank you. Well, that could be a lovely picture of someone being invited to the Father. Not just Jesus, but not just Jesus. Jesus and the Father. That's very good. Anything else? Anyone got lactose intolerance? Lactose intolerance. Oh, well, you're doing well with the knees and things, but I've blown it now. Your wife. Thank you. Right, what's her name? Right, Lord, lay your hand on Jo right now, and heal her of that. We command healing. And just a general word for you, there's something for you guys about the nations. It's not just about Whitney, it's about the nations. And I say that because, Doug, you travel a lot. There's something about the nations. Who else travels? Lots of travel. Well, the Lord go with you and use you to carry the kingdom wherever you go. Sorry, someone else was saying something. Well done. Left shoulder pain. Pain in your left shoulder. Was it shoulder blade or shoulder pain?
I felt like shoulder blade,
and
also left hip.
Left hip. Marvellous. Marvellous. And you. Fantastic. Well, could people gather around, lay hands, and you know what I do. We bless you in Jesus' name. Command healing. Not long, fussy prayers. Lord, we know how much you love this man and how faithful he's been to you for so long, and he's in such pain, and we'll be so kind of you. Okay, we commanded healing. Okay, check it out. Can you do what? Is there anything you can do that you couldn't do before? Not so bad. Okay, well, that's great. Everything we give thanks for increases. What you focus on gets bigger. So we focus on thankfulness and what he's done. So keep going and keep being thankful. And anyone else with a word of knowledge? I wrote something down. Yes. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Your pain in the neck on the left side. This is great. This is such fun, and this is how we learn and grow and get stretched. Is anyone a pain in the neck? Yes. Bless you. Can we do the same thing? Gather around, lay hands on you. Let's go. Other things going as well now. Anxiety. I really felt that there was a sort of anxiety thing driving up here. No need to wave at that. But if that's you, we just command the anxiety to go. And do you remember that perfect love casts out fear? May the love of the Father just fill you. Just fill you now. Right now, we command anxiety to go. It has no place in your life. That's good. That's very good. This sounds so bizarre. Does anyone work in the Tower of London? Or does anyone work for a company which has a tower as its logo or something? I just saw a raven. I've seen it all night with an orange eye. But what's that? It's something to do with the Tower of London. Does that mean anything to anyone? Don't know what it means. Very good. Very good. I had a sense, I'm just keeping going, is that all right? Are you having a good time?
We are.
I'm having a marvellous time, it's so good.
John was so reserved last time I saw him.
Any of you want to grow in the prophetic? I just think that the prophecy is going to be so key for you. You know, you apostolic guy, come, if you want to grow in the prophetic, can we come forward, is that all right? Prophets, come forward. That would be great. And please don't feel you kind of at you know, I'm going to prophesy to a Barack Obama kind of level. It's just a sense of, I would love that, just to have a sense more clearly of what. Oh, Simon, this is great. This is so good. Lovely. Rich, can you start doing and Rachel and you guys, can you start doing something gently, Holy Spirit? That would be lovely. May we pray for you? That'd be all right. We'll come on to the rest of you as well. Do you want to just extend a hand? What my old boss Sandy Miller used to call, just extend a beam of faith. Just pray for these guys. Just pick someone up. Just say, come Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for these men and women. Thanks. Wow, you're going to build something, Lord, here, which is just something. Thank you for what you're already doing. Now, would you release more of the prophetic? Oh, that's good. More of the prophetic. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's such a mantle on you. There's such a mantle. The Lord is resting on you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, don't hold back. Don't hold back. Just rise up into it. Yes. Yeah. Believe it, it's the Lord, it's God, it's God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I think you feel God, you feel the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, bless you for your faithfulness, the costliness of this calling. Thank you, Lord. But come out as well, come out of, don't get locked in the cupboard, as it were. Lord, release joy in this. Thank you, Lord. Lord, bless you, John. The Lord's with you. The Lord's with you. Thank you. Doug, you're really going places, brother. You're really going places. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And you need to find like-minded people, like spirits. Just get bound in. Thank you. And there's great work for you to do. More of you to do. More for you to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. More of you, more of you. And there's a great unlocking ministry for you. Great unlocking. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. So you reach out to Him. He reaches out to you. You're a great connector of generations. Great connector of generations. More in worship. The Lord will speak to you in worship. There'll be healing in worship. There'll be ministry in worship. Just I see you just carried along in a great boat, sails, and the Lord is carrying you in sails. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa! Thank you, Lord. Very exciting. I spoke to a lovely couple on my way in. I think it was forgive me, a pointing. I think it was you and it was you. And I think the Lord says that that you have an extraordinary ministry to the young. And there is going to be, you will have spiritual children and spiritual grandchildren in abundance. In abundance. Thank you, Lord. Friends, there's power in this place. Can you feel it? There's power. Those of you on the back, do you want to come forward? Let's all come forward. And kind of feel we're in the Holy of Holies and you're in the outer court. And there are no outer courts anymore because Jesus has died. The cross has made a way. Now, if you want to pray, can I just keep going? You're looking wise and holy, and yeah. I'm just being a puppy.
Look, God perfected, everybody.
It's very impressive. Okay, let's do healing. Anyone wants to pray for the sick and see them get well? Anyone want to do that? You got it. Okay, just hold out your hands. Those of you who want to see healing, and we're going to do a very very biblical thing. Actually, we're going to go 1, 2, 3, bam. All right, and on bam, everyone's going to say bam together, and on bam, you're going to get it, okay? And we'll all do this together. Lord, we ask you for healing. We're going to release gifts of healings now. 1, 2, 3, bam! Whoa! Did you get that? You just take it. Now you just take it. You rise up into it. Rise up into it. Just take it. There's a great word. There's a great word that courage enables you to enter your destiny. Don't let fear and doubt hold you back. Don't let a sense of, oh, not me, or I couldn't, or I'm not worthy. Where does that come from? Who on earth would say that you are not worthy? You for whom Christ died. You in whom the Holy Spirit of God dwells. You are, come on, you are worthy. You are equipped. The Lord is with you. So rise up. Be brave. Be brave. Be brave. That's the thing. Gentleman at the back who's yawning. God is sending you into your workplace. Okay? To do something new. Do something new. So go for it. Hold on to it. Green-shirted guy, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Do you believe it?
It's a problem with their colon as well. Problem with their colon, something they're starting, particularly the colon. So I was thinking you may not want to publicly declare that, but if that is you, do see someone and have someone pray right with you for that. If you're happy to say, we can pray for you now. But really, the Lord wants to bring some healing there. It's your wife as well. Okay, what's her name?
Joe.
Okay, Lord, so we pray for Joe right now. Right now, we pray for
Joe.
Yes, Lord. And Lord, we ask for your healing to come. We thank you, Lord. We bless you.
Yeah.
We pray for healing.
That's right.
For Joe.
That's right.
Jesus. Jesus. More.
And later.
Problem with their right ear.
Is that you? If you have a problem with your right ear?
Dave.
Pray for him. Just pray for Dave.
Father. Lady at the back, we joked about you being a pain in the neck, but there's been lies spoken in your life. It's time to put them behind you. You're not a pain in the neck.
We pray blessing on Dave now, and we command healing.
You're
on
lovely,
his right ear.
And you've got authority.
Command healing
and
right
freedom,
now.
And great, great things will happen in you and through you.
Amen.
God bless you.
Jesus. Ready to check it out. Anything
changed? Check it out.
It's usually
at night time. Okay.
Pardon? sorry.
Shouldn't have seen it back. Jesus.
Let's pray for the teenagers in this place. Can we do that? Are there loads of teenagers in Whitney? Can we all raise our voices together? Is that right? We're going to pray that we see a breakthrough amongst the young people, all right? Lord, we just pray now for the teenagers of this area.
Lord,
thank you for them. We pray that they would see revival in this place. We'd see a massive youth work. We'd see real breakthrough. We'd see great, great things. Great things, Lord. Great things. Anyone feel called to youth work? Youth workers? Lord, raise up youth workers. Hey, hey, it's you again. Excellent. Oh, he is a youth worker. More, Lord. More, Lord.
Releasing. Oh, there you go.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Did we pray for knees?
No, no, we
just
pray for
knees. Does someone have a problem with their right knee? Right knee. Anyone have a problem with their right? James. That's what happens if you run 58 kilometres. Let's just gather around James and pray for healing for that knee.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
So we just pray, we release healing. We command healing on James right now. Bring healing to that right knee right now.
Thank you, God.
Jesus, show mercy. Jesus, bring healing. Just flex it, James. Flex your knee. Healed? Yeah? Healed?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Hey! Praise the Lord! Jesus, thank you.
Thank you.
Can I just say that those of you who are older than I am, I think the Lord really wants to honor your faithfulness. I think there have been some faithful men and women in this place. And we want to say, we young people, we want to say to you that we love you and we honor you. And that we stand on your shoulders. And you have gone before. And God bless you and thank you. Thank you. Can we pray for you? Do you mind me pointing at you? Can you? There's something on you. Yeah, you. Yes. Yeah. Can we pray for you? What's your name?
Tally.
Danny. I need prayer for my right here as well. I don't know who it is, Danny. There's something special on you. Can we lay hands on Danny? Thank you, Lord. Just release more of you. Oh! Well, that's good. Father, more of you. Real power. And I think the Lord will use you to bring freedom to many. Freedom to many. I don't know if it's inner healing or release into the prophetic, release into the fullness, the freedom, the spirit. Whoa, yes. Yeah, and if there's a glass ceiling over you, we just smash it now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And there's something you've cherished in your heart, and you'll see it. You'll see it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Woo! This place, it's married to Jesus. There's something about this place that for centuries and centuries, it's married to Jesus. There's something very holy and powerful, spiritually powerful about this place. So again, thank you to those of you who have cherished this and nourished it and kept the flame alive. God bless you.
One of the things that I believe God has wanted me to bring and to encourage in these last few months, and has been sort of a word, is faith. Is faith for what he can do and wants to do in and through us. And I didn't really know what John was going to say tonight. I just knew he'd been to Bethel and I'd seen some of his Facebook statuses and thought that looks fun. He's one of my more staid friends, so some of the ones who are coming in future months, watch out. But God wants to do more. And he wants us to just press in to Jesus, to get to know Jesus better, that we can do more out there as well. There's more to come. Is that a hand up for prayer or a hand up to say something?
You're talking about miracles for the individual.
Ooh.
I wonder if you
Yeah.
Miracle.
Yes. Can we just lay your hands on the person next to you if you're happy to do that? And let's all join up. Dear friends, in the name of Jesus Christ, via California, I release miracles in this place. Isn't that good? We declare the miraculous. We declare and release the supernatural power of God in this place. And we say that you will see astonishing things which defy explanation in the natural. And you will see cancers healed. And you will see tumors go. And you will see lives put back together. You will see despair banished and hope come. You will see joy. You will see the most astonishing, astonishing things. And Jesus will say of you, as he said of the 72, that he rejoices. He rejoices with a joy given by the Holy Spirit, that Father, you have revealed such things. You have revealed the very kingdom nature of the heart of God to these people. God bless you all. God bless you all.
We should just finish by thanking God in worship for all that he's done this evening. Thank you, John, for what you've brought to us. Don't go until someone's, if there is still something you want prayer for, don't go until you've been prayed for. I'm going to ask maybe the ministry team at this point to just head over here, and if there's still something you came with tonight, a healing need or something that you would like prayer for, then head over here to the right. But we're just going to worship together, thank God for what he is doing, what he's done and he is doing, and he's going to continue to do in and through us. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you for what you've been doing, and we do ask for more. For more of you, more of you, more of your healing, more of your setting people free. So wherever we're going tonight, whatever you're taking us into tomorrow, let us go confident in your love, your blessing, your presence. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're doing this again. Well, we're doing it on Sunday, but our next celebration is in a month's time. And you can do it all week. Come back with your reports on Sunday of all that God has done. And our next celebration is in October with Mark Taylor. So, I hope you can join us.